Off the Ball Rugby.
You know, and in that coffee in Melbourne, Joe did say that, you know, stay fit. If something happens, you know, we may need you. And I thought, yeah, no chance that's happening, mate.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. Coming up, the league phase plan for both League of Ireland teams involved in the Conference League. Tributes continue to flood in for Ollie Horgan, and two former Manchester United managers find themselves out of work in Istanbul. But first today, Premier League opposition will be coming to Dublin during the league phase of the Conference League. History was made today as two League of Ireland teams were part of the draw for the very first time. Shelburne, after their playoff round victory over Linfield, were handed a home game in the league phase against English FA Cup winners Crystal Palace. Also visiting Dublin will be Kosovan Super League winners Drita and the Swedes of Håkon. Shells will come up against Troy Parrott in a trip to AZ. They'll also be away to Slovenian Cup winners Celje and Shkendija, the champions of North Macedonia. For their part, Shamrock Rovers have been given a manageable looking group on paper. Their home fixtures will be against Shakhtar Donetsk, Celje and Hamrun Spartans, who are the first side from Malta to ever make a group phase. On the road, Rovers will face Sparta Prague, AEK Athens and Icelandic club Breiðablik. The exact dates and sequence of those fixtures should be known by tomorrow, with two matches apiece set for October, November and December. The rest of Palace's slate of games sees them welcome Parrott's AZ to Selhurst Park, as well as the Finnish club Kups and AEK Larnaca. Palace will be away to Dinamo Kyiv, Liam Rossini's Strasbourg, who also include Andrew Omabamadeli in their squad, and as we mentioned there, Shelburne. Harry Wood opened the scoring in a 2-0 win for Shells at Windsor Park last night, and ahead of today's draw, he was relishing what was to come.
There's a lot of good teams in the draw, so hopefully we can get a few of them, but whoever we play, we'll still be going out with the same mindset that we do every game. It's we try to win the game and go as far as we can in the competition. It's not just to participate, it's to go as far as we can. So whoever we play, if be it a big team in Europe, whoever it is, we'll still have the same mindset of what we do on a league game, League of Ireland.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, former Rovers keeper Barry Murphy says the successes of Shells and Rovers in Europe should light a fire under the Department of Sport.
I'm sure today you'll see every TD in the country putting out tweets and from their staff, oh, Irish football's in a great position, but they've done nothing since their manifestos before the election as well. We've seen nothing from them. And it's about time now they put their hands in their pocket and really deal with the young side of the game, bring it right through to the levels of the senior team, because at the moment it's the teams leading, it should be the government leading it really.
I don't think we needed an audit to say that to us either. We've known this over the last 10-15 years, and people involved in the league have been saying it for the last 10-15 years. All of a sudden then the FAI come out with an audit and say, oh look, this is what needs to be done. But we've been screaming from the rooftops for this for a long time, and we need investment in the clubs, we need investment in the grounds, we need investment in our academy. But hopefully now there's it's been said that this is what it is, this is what we need. Will they go and do it? I don't know whether, as Barry said, TDs will come out and say, oh, we'll do this, and Irish clubs are doing great in Europe, but will they back it? I just don't know. I just don't see it happening. I think clubs have to keep fighting for themselves to get the money in.
There's more from Barry Murphy and Owen Heary on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast elsewhere in the OTB football feed, and more of them in a moment too. But in the Europa League, Aston Villa will have home games with Salzburg, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Young Boys and Bologna. Unai Emery's side will be away to Feyenoord, Fenerbahce, Basel and the Dutch club Go Ahead Eagles. Nottingham Forest will have a repeat of the 1979 European Cup final among their home games, with Malmö among the visitors to the City Ground. Forest will also entertain Robbie Keane's Ferencvaros, Porto and Midtjylland. Away from home, Forest will play Real Betis, Braga and Sturm Graz in Utrecht, having parachuted into the Europa League after their embarrassing Champions League exit. Celtic will come up against Evan Ferguson's Roma at Celtic Park, as well as Braga, Sturm Graz and Utrecht. Celtic will be away to Feyenoord, Cervena Zvezda, Midtjylland and Bologna. And as for Rangers, they too will welcome Ferguson and Roma to Glasgow, while also having games at Ibrox against Braga, Ludogorets and Genk. Away, Rangers will play Porto, Ferencvaros, Sturm Graz and Brann of Norway. The president, Michael D. Higgins, has led the tributes to ex-Finn Harps manager and Galway United assistant Ollie Horgan, who died yesterday at the age of just 57. He'd only stepped back from his position at Eamon DC Park earlier this month as he dealt with ill health. President Higgins spoke of Horgan as, quote, one of the most respected and popular people in the League of Ireland. He will be warmly remembered for his wonderful management and intense passion for the game, in particular during his near decade-long spell as manager of Finn Harps. Having managed Fannage United to three Ulster Senior League titles, Horgan was appointed Harps manager in 2013. 2 years later, they were promoted to the Premier Division, staying there for two seasons and reaching the FAI Cup semi-finals of 2016. Relegation in 2017 was followed immediately by a second place finish in 2018 in the First Division, and they'd remain in the top flight under Horgan's stewardship for four more years. He left the club after their return to the First Division at the end of the 2022 season, but he wasn't long out of work, having been added to John Caulfield's management ticket at Galway United in December of that year. A school teacher by trade, he also managed the Republic of Ireland schoolboys team, and the FAI said this morning that Horgan had a profound impact on the schools game and in the League of Ireland. On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, Owen Heary and First Barry Murphy also pay tribute to Ollie Horgan.
Yeah, I think it's unanimous across the board. Clubs, fans, players, everything. And you just think of, in an age kind of where there's a lot of robotics in playing styles and managers, he just stood out as a character who just wore his heart in his sleeve. And even like from players I've talked to, who went up to Finn Harps to play, they were playing for him. Mm. Went up maybe for a year to play to extend their career, but then ended up staying longer because he was there as manager. And you see him, like, even some of the reserve games, like Bowes years ago, like on a Saturday morning, he'd be down watching the Bowes reserves, trying to pick out a player in Daily Mount. Like, he just had that kind of knack. He was so dedicated.
Yeah, he was had the privilege of being on the pro licence with him, and most infectious laugh you'll ever meet in a person. Like, you wouldn't understand what he was talking about or saying to you, but he'd start laughing and you'd laugh with him. You know, he is definitely a character. And as you say, the arguments on the sideline with the referees, and spent nine years up in Finn Harps, keeping him in the Premier Division, getting him to the semi-final of the Cup against Pats. But yeah, he'd be really, really missed, like, you know, and it's a tragic loss to football in general. As you said, he's involved in football at a young age, fan into the whole lot, and he knew the players inside out, young players with the schools coming through, and they all just had a liking to him, and that's the way he was. He was that sort of man that everyone, he drew people to him, like, you know, and he's definitely going to be sorely missed.
Shelburne manager Joey O'Brien also gave his tribute to Ollie Horgan last night at Windsor Park.
Yeah, great night. Obviously, as you said, two teams qualifying by group stage, European football, I think. People would have thought that a few years ago, you know, that was even possible. So, yeah, great. And as I said, I think I said it there, fitting tribute, please God, to Ollie Horgan, you know, obviously passing away, legend of our game. And I'm sure, he'd be smiling down after that. And our thoughts and our prayers are with his family. We're here, probably touching tribute, I suppose, maybe with two of us qualifying, you know.
A minute's silence will be held at each of this weekend's League of Ireland matches and the Women's All-Ireland Cup final. He will be sadly missed, Ollie Horgan, by all those around the league. On the fields tonight, Off the Ball is at the Ryan McBride Brandywell for the meeting of Derry City and St Patrick's Athletic. The Candy Stripes are down in numbers, with Ben Doherty, Jamie Stott and Carl Winchester all suspended for tonight's game. Derry's top scorer this year, Liam Boyce, will miss the rest of the season. Meanwhile, he requires surgery tomorrow on a hamstring injury sustained in their FAI Cup quarterfinal loss to Drogheda. Pats arrive on Foyleside with a record of 5 wins in all competitions in their last 5 matches, and Derry manager Tiernan Lynch has been assessing the danger.
Yeah, so Pats are obviously a team banging form at the moment.
Yeah, there's a good spirit in the camp at the minute.
It's 4 been, wins in the bounce.
As you said, we've been playing well, scoring goals, keeping clean sheets, so you can't really complain about how things have been going recently, but we have to obviously finish the season strong.
This is why we're in this. It's these challenges that you want to face. As you said, they'll probably be slightly different from Drogheda and Galway. There are teams that like to get on the ball, they like to play, they like a little bit of time and space, and we have to go in with a slightly different game plan and look at the areas that we feel we can hurt Pat. We have a good record against them this season, and as every week, I couldn't ask any more of the players as far as work ethic and get into Friday night. And hopefully we'll be able to kick on from there.
And Saints midfielder Keane Levy says they're full of confidence in their hunt for a European spot.
Yeah, there's a good spirit in the camp at the minute. It's been, as you said, we've been playing well, scoring goals, keeping clean sheets, so you can't really complain about how things have been going recently, but we have to obviously finish the season strong, so we just have to focus on that.
Kickoff at the Brandywell is at 7:45 with Jessica Farry on commentary for tonight's game. It's on Off the Ball on News Talk. Waterford will look to push Cork City further towards the brink tonight as the clubs meet in a Munster derby at the RSC. It's the second time the sides have met in a fortnight, with Cork dumping the Blues out of the cup at Turner's Cross recently. But Cork keeper Conor Brand believes they can pick themselves up from last weekend's league defeat at Bohemians.
Yeah, I think we've got a good enough squad to do it. After obviously the Bowls loss became in the Saturday, we knew what we have to do this week. But it's not just this week, we know we have to go and win tomorrow and then go Finn Harps away. Just keep the momentum, keep winning games. It's massive, especially it's not ideal the situation we're in, but we just know what we have to go and do.
Dundalk continue their march towards promotion tonight with the visit of Kerry to Oriel Park. Second place Cove Ramblers go to bottom club Athlone. Informed playoff hopefuls Finn Harps will look to increase the pressure on the side just above the dotted line, Treaty United, when they clash in Ballybuffet. And UCD and Bray will look to consolidate their playoff spots when they square off at Belfield. Republic of Ireland playmaker Finn Azaz has completed his move from Middlesbrough to Southampton. The 24-year-old has signed a four-year contract at St Mary's, with Southampton paying Borough £12 million in a deal that could rise to £14 million. Azaz has set out his and the club's expectations for the rest of the season, and his burgeoning relationship with manager Will Still.
I can see, knowing the league and knowing the players, and can see that the club really is a Premier League club and wants to be and deserves to be back in the Premier League, for sure.
Obviously, that's the club's ambition to bounce back and get to the Premier League. For you, who so accomplished at this level now, how exciting is that opportunity of hopefully being able to get the opportunity now to play in the Premier League?
Well, I'm established at this level. However, this is a lot more expectation. The expectation is to win the league. I'd say that should be the expectation, looking at the squad, looking at the size of the club, the manager, me and him spoke about it, that the expectation, you know, and what we should be doing is winning the league.
What have your conversations with the gaffer been like so far?
Really good. We, I think we have similar philosophies on a lot of parts of the game. We had a really in-depth conversation about football as a whole and how to win, and kind of the freedom which he gives his players out there as well. There's a framework, but you can see that he puts a lot of trust in his players to figure things out, and I pride myself on that. So we kind of saw eye to eye on a lot of things.
Azaz's Ireland teammate Adam Ida is set to complete his move from Celtic to Swansea today. The 24-year-old Corkman has already agreed terms with the Championship club and has said his farewells to his Celtic teammates. Swansea will pay £7 million for Ida. He could be replaced at Parkhead by Anderlecht's Danish international striker Kasper Dahlberg. The Belgian side are open to a sale after their European exit last night, and Dahlberg could cost Brendan Rodgers' side £10 million. Dahlberg scored 14 times in the Jupiler Pro League last season, with a further four coming in the playoffs. He's already scored 5 goals in 8 games so far this season for Anderlecht. Uncapped Tottenham fullback Jed Spence has been included in the latest England squad, but there's no place for Trent Alexander-Arnold. Nottingham Forest midfielder Elliot Anderson could also win his first cap in the upcoming World Cup qualifiers with Andorra and Serbia. Marcus Rashford and Adam Wharton earn recalls, while Jack Grealish is among those to miss out, that despite his move to Everton. And not one, but two former Manchester United managers find themselves out of work in Istanbul today. Beşiktaş sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer last night after they were beaten 1-0 at home by Lausanne, missing out on the Conference League group phase to the Swiss side, who took the tie 2-1 on aggregate. Solskjaer took over at Beşiktaş in January and steered them to a fourth place finish in the Turkish Super League. However, European defeats to Shakhtar Donetsk and then Lausanne put paid to his brief time in charge. Joining him in the dull queue is Jose Mourinho, whose fiery 13-month spell in charge of Fenerbahce was also ended following a European loss. They're among Aston Villa's Europa League opponents this season, as we mentioned earlier, after a Champions League playoff round loss to Benfica. Just this week, Mourinho had crossed his bosses, claiming not to know the club's vice president, Hamdi Akin. This despite Akin defending Mourinho against claims of racism that came last season from Galatasaray. With a number of Premier League bosses already under pressure, it sparked talk of a potential Mourinho return to England. And speaking to Sky in October of last year, Mourinho made no secret of his desire to return to England's top flight, and specifically London.
By the social point of view, of course, I've been so lucky to live in so many beautiful countries and beautiful cities like Istanbul, Rome, Madrid, Milan. But my family lives in London. London is home. So one day I have to be back, unless nobody wants me. But one day I would like to be back. But don't get me wrong, and let's make it very, very clear. For the next 2 years, this season and the next, nobody would take me from Fenerbahce.
Graham Potter shifts in his seat nervously. That's it for today's and indeed this week's Football Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB football feed to keep even more of our great football coverage coming to you each and every day. Football Daily will be back with you for free once again on Monday. Till then, have a brilliant weekend.
First tweet says, dudes can literally just sit around and name old sports players and just have the best time.
Bring on Timmy Cahill.
Timmy!
What a player he was, by the way. Loved the header. Oh, my God, that guy was good in the air.
And the Ibrahim Diaz, what a player he was, by the way. Foden.
Ida Elgerson. Oh, yeah. What a player he was, by the way.
But like Marco Branco came, he was unbelievable. But what a player he was.
It is the same Rui Costa, Broads. It is. Absolute icon. AC Milan icon, man. What a player he was, by the way.
Auntie Naimi.
Hi. He was finished.
I'm not finished. He's only 28.
No, not finished. He's from Finland.
And what a player he was, by the way, obviously. But he was finished.
Is he Scottish?
No.
Oh, I thought he was Scottish.
David Suka, what player he was, by the way.
David, yeah. Oh. David Suka. Oh.
There's another little debate to be had here because a friend of the show, Joe Cole, what a player he was, by the way.
N'Golo Kante, what a player he was, by the way.
Puskas Arena, what a player he was, by the way.
Whelan caught it on the volley.
What a player he was. But he does shin that one a bit.
How dare you? How dare you?
Then we signed Stan Collymore, and what a player he was, but he was just a loophead. Great lad.
Kanu. Someone's mentioned Kanu. I don't think I can do Kanu, but what a player he was, though, wasn't he?
Diaz alongside him, though. What a player he was, Al. What some great blocks.
Zola would be a great player if he could still. What a player he was. Mark Noble would be good. Jack Wiltshire.
Wiltshire when he was at Arsenal. Cazorla, what a player he was, Al.
To Matt Lawrence, what a player he was alongside Jockey Hansen.
Well, what a player he was. Oh, no, what a player he was. He could play.
You know, John Monker, what a player he was, by the way.
Then you go a little bit further on, Gerrard, what a player he was.
Dean Ashton, what a player he was, by the way.
If that's the best you can do, then the answer is definitely no.
Janssen, Tilio Lombardo.
Cue music.
Not the Lombardo. Lombardo.
What a player he was, by the way, Lombardo.
Magnificent. What a player he was.
Yeah. That's who I really thought was unbelievably good. I played against him. Lufa Mateus. What a player he was, by the way.
Rule Fox. What a player he was, by the way. He was a top player.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.